Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. Tesla bassist Brian Wheat lifts the lid on living the rock and roll life while struggling with anxiety, depression, and other issues seldom discussed by musicians. In his new book, Son of a Milkman, My Crazy Life with Tesla, which was released on December 15th, via Post Hill Press and co-penned by Chris Epting. The book is currently available at Amazon.com. Far from your typical rock star's bassist for the multi-platinum band Tesla, Brian has enjoyed the spoils of success and lived the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle to the hilt. But it came at a cost, one that took years to repair. In this deeply honest and utterly revealing memoir, Wheat sheds light on the many challenges he faces, including bulimia, weight issues, and the crippling anxiety and depression caused by his conditions. Just like the songs his legendary band made, this is a no-nonsense blue-collar storytelling at its best. While revealing the vulnerable human behind the bass guitar, this autobiography also offers tremendous stories of life on the road and collaborations and encounters with legendary figures like his pals in Def Leppard, David Lee Roth, Alice Cooper, and Paul McCartney. Brian is best known as the bass guitarist of the multi-platinum selling band Tesla, which he co-founded in 1982. Tesla became one of the biggest bands of the late 1980s through the 90s. Brian owns a recording studio by the name of J Street Recorders in Sacramento, California. Papa Roach, Tesla, Pat Travers, Deftones, Kodiak Jack, Flash Fires, and many others have recorded there. Chris Epting is an award-winning journalist and the author of many books, including Adrenalized, co-written with Def Leppard's Phil Collin, and Change of Seasons, co-written with John Oates, who we had on the show not long ago. And it features a foreword by Def Leppard's Joe Elliott and an afterword by renowned rock photographer Ross Halfin. Son of a Milkman will entertain, surprise, and inspire longtime fans of this enduring band. Please welcome bass guitar player for the multi-platinum rock band Tesla. In addition, a gifted songwriter, producer, recording studio owner, manager, and talented photographer and artist, and now author, Brian Wheat, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Brian.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How has this pandemic been for you?
A drag. A real drag. It's been like it's been for everyone. I mean, we haven't played in almost 11 months now, so it's getting to the point where, you know, I hope at some point soon we can go back and play concerts, but no one knows, so you just sit around and there's not much to do.
How often are you playing music during this time, and what's going on with the recording studio?
Well, Well, I'm in the recording studio working, producing bands, and I've been working on some slow motor material. But, you know, as far as Tesla goes, they haven't been able to get together because we're scattered all over the country. And with, you know, these quarantine things that you have to do and stuff, we only got, you know, so much schedule with our personal lives and wives and kids and other things, you know, that we just haven't been able to carve out a time to where we can all go into quarantine or lockdown or whatever you want to do, call it, and make, you know, some new music or something.
Well, I guess...
So it's been kind of a break because, I mean, we've also been going at it 20 years straight.
Right.
I think we're just using it more as a break to recharge the batteries as well. But, you know, that was fine for 4 or 5 months. But after that, you're like, hey, man, you know, we want to play. We want to get together and work.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, it's hard to stay sharp, you know, when you're not with the other band members, you know, unless you do it virtually, you know, online or something, you know, which a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are. I mean, I play, you know, I play as much as I do, you know, on off time. You know, so I think Jeff's been singing a little bit, and, you know, Frank and Dave always are playing it. Troy, they're always playing their instruments, you know. They're always doing it. So, you know, but I'm hanging in there. I'm staying busy. Doing a lot of press on this book, so that's keeping me busy, keeping me occupied.
Well, the book looks like it's doing great, man. I went on Amazon. I'm an author, too. And, I went on Amazon, and there you got some great feedback, you know, and you have lots of people that have responded, which is excellent. It's still early, you know. The book just came out.
I think it's doing good. You know, a lot of the feedback I'm getting back from people, they enjoy it, and they enjoy the honesty of it, which that makes me happy because I pretty much laid my balls out there on the line on it, and. You know, but I don't really know how to do it any other way. I mean, if you're going to do something, you do it. You know, if you're going to put a book out and tell your story, you tell your story, whether it's pretty or ugly, you know, whatever. You tell it, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't offend or upset or, you know, bum people out. So
I think it does the opposite. I think people say, hey, man, this guy's like us.
Well, yeah, that was what I was trying to get across, is that just because you're in a rock band doesn't mean you don't have the same problems that, you know, Joe that works at the post office has.
Right, right.
Or anyone else. You know, and that we are just like normal people. I think that's how people relate to our music as well.
Yep.
They, you know, they feel like, you know, we're their buddies down the street. And we are your buddies down the street.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Yeah, I feel like when I talk to you guys, you know, it just to me feels like, you know, like my buddies in high school, because all my buddies in high school, you know, we all played music, you know, we were all in bands and stuff, and it's just that you guys hit it big. You guys were great, you know.
I mean, that's what we do. We just, our job is we play music.
Exactly.
You know, Joe, you know, the other guy that we went to school with, you know, now he's airplane pilot for United. Or, you know, everyone, it's funny, you know, you choose these paths when you're young, and, you know, but you're still the same guy you were when you were your buddies in high school.
Exactly.
You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I commend you for being honest. You know, I did a memoir as well, because I grew up in my family business in D.C., and I held back, you know. I held back a lot of experiences that I had because I was afraid of repercussion from, you know, family members and, you know, kids and stuff like that. So,
yeah, no, I didn't. And, you know, I've gotten a few phone calls.
Did you? For family?
Yeah. Family and friends and, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, confession is good for the soul, right? Isn't that what they say?
Well, that's, I think it's a kind of a liberating thing. You don't want to hurt nobody. That's not the point.
Right.
But you're telling your story about you and how things affect you. It's not how, I don't know how they affect other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
All I can speak on is how, you know, any given situation or, you know, circumstance affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to put in the book. You know, it's like, well, this is how this affected me. You know, I don't know how the breakup affected Jeff Keys or
right.
Troy. I know how it affected me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I talk about in the book.
Yeah. Well, one thing, you got to meet a lot of your heroes. You know, a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of rock guys do not. And one guy, it was Paul McCartney. You don't know how many people I talked to that wish they had met Paul McCartney. And tell me the story about how you met Paul.
Well, I met him a couple of times, but the first time I met him, I was in England in 1987, and, uh-huh. and me and Frank Cannon were at Geffen Records doing press for Mechanical Resonance. And we left, we finished, and he said, hey, let's go to this guitar shop down the street. I want to look at these guitars. And we happened to be walking through this little park, which is called Soho Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to look in front of me, and there was Paul McCartney's building. You know, because I'd seen it in, you know, McCartney magazine.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously, there's press also on Paul McCartney when you're, you know, forever. And I'd seen this building, MPO, which was his building. And then I looked up on the third floor, and he was in there looking out the window at the park.
Mm-hmm.
So I waved to him. I said, shit, Frank, there's Paul McCartney. Holy shit. So I said, look, Frank, I'm going to stay because he's going to come down. He's got to leave. There's a kid towards the end of the day, 5 o'clock. I said, maybe I'll get to say hello to him or take a picture or something. And
right.
He said, okay, well, you go ahead. I'm going to go look at these guitars. So sure enough, he came down. And, you know, I talked to him for about 5 minutes and got a couple pictures with him. And he was great. He was very kind and friendly and wished me, you know, I told him that we were playing the marquee, and he wished me, you know, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said a lot of people get started there.
Yep.
It's great.
That's amazing. Yeah. Right place at the right time, huh?
Yeah, I gotta think it was cosmic, though. I gotta think it was like, you know, God said, Brian, I'm gonna give you a treat.
Well, you deserve it.
Well, I don't know if I deserved it or not, but I'm certainly happy it happened, you know, because, I mean, what are the chances that, you know, at that particular day, he's going to be in that office?
Exactly.
I'm going to be there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's cosmic.
Definitely. Right? Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. Do you have a relationship with Alice Cooper?
Not really.
No?
No, I mean, I toured with Alice Cooper.
Right.
I mean, you know, when those people write those bios like that, they,
yeah.
you know.
Exaggerate
you know,
a little bit.
I don't have a relationship with David Lee Roth. I don't have a relationship with Alice Cooper. I toured with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell a story about David Lee Roth and their wanting to manage Tesla at the time. You know, I definitely have relationships with Def Leppard. I have had relationships with him.
Right.
Since we started, and Joe Elliott's one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but no Alice Cooper. I mean, I know him. If I saw him, we'd say hello. You know, he knows I'm Brian and Tesla. I know he's Alice Cooper, but we don't have any connection. Outside, we were supposed to tour this year, and then COVID wiped that out.
That's a shame. That would have been a great tour.
I think it would have been a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'll hopefully all come back soon. You know, little by little, a lot of these venues are opening up, you know, with a limited amount of people. So, especially down here in Florida, you know, we're a little bit more, you know, liberal with that as far as letting people in, you know. So, And your recording studio, I saw pictures of it, man. It's incredible. It's really high tech.
Yeah, no, I built that in 2013.
Uh-huh.
I had a fire, and I had built another recording studio in 2004 in back of my house. And I had a fire that burnt that down. So then I built the new one in 2013.
You said in your book that the fire actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise?
Well, in the sense that, you know, when I built the first studio, I didn't really know what I was doing. And, you know, when it burnt down, it allowed me the resources to build another studio and actually build it properly.
Right.
So, you know, that was the blessing in disguise. Because at the time, when I had the fire, I thought it was the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Troy Lucchetta telling me, you know, when I was talking to him on the phone, he said, look, one day you'll look back on this and you know, you'll be better off for it.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, right, okay. So, but, you know, he was right. He was absolutely right.
Yeah, the station that I broadcast from is in California. And the station actually burnt down during one of the fires over there.
No.
It was in Paradise. You know Paradise, California?
Absolutely, yeah.
The whole town burnt down. So I lost about 4 interviews with that, and now they relocated to Lafayette. But they burnt down completely. So
right.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Hopefully they'll get their insurance money out of it, but you know, it's a slow process, really slow process.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, you guys, you had, let's see, I believe you had, like, the Deftones, which is a great band, Papa Roach. They all recorded there, huh?
Yeah, they've all done some kind of work in there, yeah.
Yeah. Now, who does do they have their own producers and engineers when they come into your studio? How's that work?
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
I just provide the studio.
Right. That's great. You know, I mean, you know, there's so many recordings nowadays that they're you know, sending in MP3s and tapes from all over the country, and that's how they're doing their recording now. But, you know, I'm one for the old-fashioned recording studio myself, you know. It's
right.
There's so much you can do with a recording studio.
Yeah, well, it's like the playground.
Yeah, exactly. It is a playground. You've probably spent a lot of time in there.
I spend a lot of time.
Well, the book is incredible. It's going to do great. You think you're going to do another book after this one, or?
Yeah. Just don't know yet what. Yet, you know, I'll do another book with Chris. Me and Chris will do another book together. Chris Epting.
I've got it was David Ellison coming up. On doing an interview with David, and he's actually wrote a series of books that are fiction about a rock star. I got to read the synopsis on it, but he's actually done about 4 or 5. He's got a new one out now too, so he's really getting into that side of it, of fiction, you know. So I guess, you know, that would be pretty cool, writing fiction.
If you're into that. I don't think I could write fictitious stories.
Really?
No, man. I have to write what I know.
Yeah. Well, that's what they tell you to write. Write about what you know. Yeah. But both of my books are nonfiction. I'm like you.
Yeah. Hats off to him. I have to pick up one of his books.
Yeah, that one's out as well. Yeah. And I went into the website for your photography. Now, talk to me about how that works. It's artwork, but it's photography, and you incorporate photography with painting. How does that work?
Well, I take a picture,
right,
of something.
Okay.
They have, you know, 2 swans on a lake.
Okay.
And then I put it on canvas, and then I paint on it.
Wow.
So it's an enhanced photography.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's very different. Honestly, I never heard that before. I've never seen that. Your work is incredible. I went on the website, and I'm assuming that you got a lot of works for sale, right?
Oh, yeah. I do it through this company called the Whitworth Gallery.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to mention that in the interview and also on my websites.
And I really enjoy that. You know, a lot of the painting, I get the canvas is made, and then a lot of the painting I do in the dressing room when I'm on tour.
Really? You're kidding me.
No.
That's really multitasking, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know how you do that. I guess that would relax you, huh? Before a show?
What's that?
I guess that would relax you, you know, before a show, you know, chill out a little bit.
That is relaxing.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to urge everybody to go on your, on that website at the end of this interview, because it's, you got some beautiful works there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. Well, how many dogs do you have?
I have 3 Jack Russells.
Oh, wow. They're nice dogs. They're cool dogs.
Yeah, just let them outside.
I see that.
They're Jack Russells.
You have a dog family as well, right?
Yeah, they're my children. Right?
They're your children.
Yeah. Because I don't have children, so we have the 3 dogs.
You have the 3 dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they have puppies, they'll you'll be your grandchildren.
Yeah, but they're all big.
They're all, yeah.
They won't have puppies, but we've had 7 so far.
Wow, really? At one time? Or just...
No, yeah. Throughout the years.
Yeah.
You know, they last 14, 15 years.
Right.
And then, you know, we get new ones, and, you know, they're our kids.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, they're just as much work as kids.
They can be. You know, I love my kids, they're rewarding.
Their personalities, man, they're so smart, they're so intelligent, and I swear they know what you're thinking before you say it.
Yeah, they're very intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish humans were more like that.
I have a problem with humans.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
That's funny. Tell me about, you got your break in the industry from, is it Steve Klausman?
Yeah.
What did he do to help you out?
Well, he, you know, when me and Frank first started Syndicate, which was the chat club.
Right.
He kind of guided us, encouraged us to write our own music, taught us, you know, work ethics.
Right.
And, you know, everything that he taught us, stuck with us, you know, our whole life.
Mm-hmm. He's basically...
So he was a big part of us, you know, mm-hmm. shaping us and all that stuff.
He was your Brian Epstein, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, kind of, in a way. You know, he didn't put suits on us, but, you know.
No Beatle haircut.
We needed to have a look and,
yeah.
You know, this, that, the other. And, you know, he lived with me until at a certain point in his life. When he was kind of down on his luck
mm-hmm.
later in his life. And he was like kind of like a father in a lot of ways, you know.
Very cool to make a connection like that. You know, that's very rare. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, the name Tesla was actually somebody else named the band, not none of the members. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, Cliff Bernstein
mm-hmm.
suggested the name Tesla to us.
Right.
And we would have never named the band Tesla in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's not something we were into or knew about. I mean, now we do.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the time we didn't.
What's cool, you got on your website, you got a whole tab, whole history of Tesla, and basically devoted to him, which is very cool, because, you know, how is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know, it's funny, you know, people tell people I'm with Tesla, and they say, oh, you work for the car company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the general manager.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, right?
They're doing pretty well. But the yeah, you got that whole site devoted to Tesla, and I always thought he got screwed, you know, in life. You know, he was the guy that did it all, and of course Edison got all the credit.
Yeah, know? Well, Edison spent a lot of time discrediting him.
Yeah, it's really a shame.
And you know, there's theories that the government killed him, and
I know
there's all kinds of conspiracy theories when it comes to Nikola Tesla.
Yeah,
but he wasn't a very he's a genius kind of guy.
Yep. He sure was.
Yeah, he was.
Yep. I've got Tesla's stock, you know, it's doing great, and they got all kinds of new cars coming out and everything, but they have a rival that's doing very well, and which is NIO in China. That's they're an up-and-coming electric car company that's doing very well as well. I happen to buy some stock in it because it.
Right on, man. Good for you.
They say it's gonna really, you know, it's right now it's like, I don't know, about 54 or something like that. They say it's gonna hit over 300 in a year or two, like Tesla. You know, it's gonna be one of those things. So yeah, it's a good stock to get.
All right.
So is
Tesla stock too.
So is Tesla. Tesla's a little bit more expensive, unfortunately.
Right.
I tell you, what had to be a hoot for you was recording in Abbey Road. You did the Five Man album. And what was it like recording in Abbey Road?
Well, you know, it was pretty heavy because obviously I'm a Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Person. Yep.
So sitting in Abbey Road playing my Hofner bass, you know, singing We Can Work It Out.
Yeah, I heard that.
In the close proximity of where Paul McCartney sat and played the same song, you know, in 1965,
mm-hmm.
was giving me the chills the whole time I was, you know, doing it.
You can probably almost, you can feel the presence of the Beatles in that studio, huh?
Yeah, it's funny because while we were there, they say, well, you know, he has the key to the back door.
Really?
And he comes in all the time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just like, he'll walk in people's sessions. And go, oh, hi, I'm Paul.
Don't they have, like, one of the original pianos there? Still there, or?
All that stuff's still there, yeah.
Still there, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're getting to live out a lot of dreams and fantasies here, rock and roll fantasies, which mm-hmm. is very cool. I like your version too of the of Signs, you know, from the Five Man Electrical Band. That's a neat version. That's a song I thought a lot of people would pick up, you know, because it's a great tune.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yep. So, what's Frank working on, do you know?
He's working on developing some new young bands he's been working with.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you get a lot of new, you know, new bands, young bands?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. Do you kind of mentor them and tell them, you know, what to expect and all that stuff?
Yeah, I kind of mentor them like I was mentored and, you know, produce them and try to guide them, you know, on the right path.
Yeah, it's a different world today, isn't it, than when you guys were starting out?
Yeah, sure it is.
when now it's all about exposure online, you know, and, but, you know, every rock star I interview always tell me it's about getting out there, you know, on the clubs and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And it's, and now they're held back and they can't even do that, you know, so it's got to be so difficult for them.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, I got a call coming in, another interview.
All right, man. Well, listen, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Good luck with the book. The book is great. 5 stars all the way, man.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Sure. We'll keep in contact, and we'll find out what's going on with Tesla, you know, when things get back in motion again.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right, Brian. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can purchase Son of a Milkman, My Crazy Life with Tesla. It's on hardcover. It was released December 15th of 2020. It's by Brian Wheat and co-penned by Chris Epting. You can purchase that now at Amazon.com. It's a great book. You can also purchase Tesla's latest release, Five-Man London Jam. Tesla visited the iconic Abbey Road Studios for a one-night musical event, performing songs from their legendary arsenal, including Love Songs and What You Give, along with their classic covers of Signs and We Can Work It Out by the Beatles. Additionally, for the first time ever, the band performed the track California Love Song for their latest studio album, Shock. The performance was recorded and filmed in 4K HD, bringing forth Tesla's upcoming live album, Five Man London Jam. It's available on CD, available at Amazon.com. For more information about Brian Wheat and Tesla, you can go to their official website at www.teslatheband.com. You can also visit them on Facebook, www.facebook.com/TeslaBand. Also, you can go to Brian Wheat and go see his artwork, which is incredible. www.wentworthgallery.com/wheat.html. And also his recording studio, www.jstreetrecorders.com. That's Brian's recording studio. I want to say very special thanks to Hadley Wolfram of Chipster PR for arranging this interview with Brian Wheat, and of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of EBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can always contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please, please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, and you'll get the very latest interviews right directly on into your mailbox. It's real news, people. We don't mess around here. And, of course, my new book is finally out. It's entitled The Rockstar Chronicles Series 1. It chronicles truths, confessions, wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. You can order yours today on hardcover ebook at bookbaby.com and also at amazon.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world would ever know. And I'm going to read a couple of those guys to you. Okay, I've got Chris Squire. Some of these interviews have gone away and passed away and are now in rock and roll heaven, unfortunately. But where else can you get the latest interviews from these guys that have passed on? Chris Squire, of course, from Yes, Dr. John, The Night Tripper, Greg Lake from Everslade & Palmer, Henry McCullough, Joe Cocker, Jack Bruce, of course, a legendary bass player from Cream, done work with Robin Trower and so many more. Joe Lala from Blues Image, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. He was on the Saturday Night Fever albums. Joe's done, you know, he was with Manassas, Stephen Stills. Of course, the great Johnny Winter, Keith Emerson, Paul Kattner from the Jefferson Airplane, Ray Thomas from the Moody Blues, of course, Ronnie Montrose, Tony Joe White, David Clayton Thomas from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Mike Love from the Beach Boys, Tommy Rowe, who was at that infamous first concert with the Beatles, and it was a legendary hit maker back in the 60s, 50s and 60s. We've got Barry Hay from Golden Earring, lead singer from Golden Earring, Chris Thompson from Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light, Jesse Colin Young, of course, from the Youngbloods, John Kay from Steppenwolf. I've got Julian Lennon in the book, Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. We've got Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, Peter Rivera, the great lead singer and leader of Motown legends, or Peter Rivera's, Rare Earth. Tommy James from Tommy James and the Shondells. Todd Rundgren, Dave Mason. Of course, he started with Traffic. Edgar Winter. We interviewed Edgar Winter the day before Johnny Winter passed away. Frank Marino from Mahogany Rush. Greg Rowley from Santana. Ian Anderson, the great Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. Did a couple of interviews with him, and then we combined them. Jim Dandy Mangrum from Black Oak, Arkansas. Jim Dandy to the rescue. John Anderson from Yes. We've got Lou Graham from Foreigner. We had Mick Bock. Mick Bock from Uriah Heep. Great Randy Bachman from Bachman Turner Overdrive and the Guess Who. Legendary guitarist Robin Trower. Roger Fisher, incredible guitar player. With Heart, Steve Hackett from Genesis, Annie Haslam from Renaissance, Melody Sofka, who was one of the great women of Woodstock, Petula Clark, Susie Quattro is in the book, Colin Blundstone from the Zombies, Dave Davies from the Kinks, Jim McCarty from the Yardbirds, and of course, original drummer with the Beatles, Pete Best. And they're all available now on Amazon.com, The Rockstar Chronicles. This is Series 1. I'm hoping to do 4. Definitely have enough material for 4 books. I want to say thank you to everybody, and stay safe. Peace, everyone, and have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.